covered the same story. According to provisional figures published by the Federal Statistics Office, the Statist, recently German companies started 12.3% more insolvency procedures in December of 2023 compared to the same period in 2022. It was the seventh month in a row with double-digit year-on-year growth in the number of new insolvency procedures in Germany. According to DStatis, from January to October of 2023, corporate insolvencies were up 24.1% year-on-year. The German Hospital Federation warned at the end of last year the situation in hospitals is worse than ever before, expecting insolvencies to reach record levels in 2024. According to a survey by the German Hospital Institute, around 70% of the country's hospital operators fear that the economic situation in the country will deteriorate further this year. The retail sector has also been affected. Recently, Germany's largest department store chain, Galeria Karstadt Kaufhof, had to file for insolvency due to the collapse of its holding company, Signa Group. It was the third insolvency filing for the troubled store chain in less than 4 years. The catering industry in Germany is also anticipating a growth in insolvency proceedings. Since the beginning of 2024, the earlier value-added tax rate of 19% on restaurant meals has been reinstated after the government had reduced it to 7% during the COVID-19 pandemic. The German Hotel and Restaurant Association said at the end of last year, as a result, business closures and insolvencies will be inevitable from March of 2024. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to preliminary figures published by the Federal Statistics Office, DStatis, on Monday, 5th of February, Germany's imports and exports both declined in 2023 amid recession. According to the figures, exports of Europe's largest economy were down 1.4% from 2022 to 1.56 trillion euros, while imports slumped 9.7% to 1.35 trillion euros. Carolyn Herweg, an expert at the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, said 2023 was a lost year for Germany's export industry. She said high inflation and high interest rates, as well as geopolitical risks, had reduced demand, which caused the drop in exports of goods. Dirk Yandura, president of the country's Wholesale Foreign Trade and Services Association, said, with exports to key markets stagnating or declining, last year's figures reflect the continued weakness of German foreign trade. The German Economic Institute assumes that the country's export model will remain in crisis this year as the geopolitical situation continues to be uncertain. The German Economic Institute said at the end of last year that after registering fewer foreign orders for 2 years, many German industrial companies were holding back on investments.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, philosophy and ethics in our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is such an honor to be here at your service, dear friends, dear listeners. We are talking about philosophy and ethics when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Now, don't worry, we're not talking about the various different intricacies of philosophy or ethics. Now, I know many a times when we think about the term philosophy, or we think about the subject of philosophy, we are transported to our college days, and we kind of feel so lost when it comes to philosophy. Now, what are we talking about here when we're talking about Islamic lifestyle and we're talking about philosophy and ethics? Well, don't be scared. It's actually quite simple. Now, when we're talking about philosophy, we're just using the term in order to refer to something which is called speculative wisdom. Now, in the Arabic, it is known as hikmatun nazariya. Nazariya meaning it comes from this kind of, well, I don't know if we want to call it speculative, but it is this kind of a science of wisdom, if you will. And really, that's what philosophy is. Philosophy, in very loose terms, is the science of wisdom. The whole purpose of philosophy in its core essence is to be able to allow us to attain higher levels of spiritual and metaphysical realities of the cosmos. And so, yes, that, I guess, is philosophy. So this kind of a reality of the existence of human being, of the existence of God, of the existence of time, these kind of realities is what is known as philosophy or speculative wisdom or hikmatun nazariya. The other aspect, of course, is ethics, which is loosely translated as al-hikmatun amaliya. Amaliya meaning amal, it comes from action, and so that's why it's referred to as practical wisdom. Now that we know these two things, hopefully we're going to be able to understand what roles they play in our Islamic lifestyle. Welcome back. This is A2Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about philosophy, speculative wisdom, hikmatun nadhariya, and we are talking about ethics or practical wisdom, also known as al-hikmatun amaliya. Now, it seems so confusing, even though we're trying to make it as simple as possible. Now, what do these two terms have to do with our Islamic lifestyle? We don't have to be a PhD student, and we don't have to be in a very simple, practical manner. When we're talking about philosophy, right, and we're talking about the different realities of existence, well, this is where we turn to the Holy Quran, and we turn, you know, to the different verses of the Holy Quran, the chapters of the Holy Quran, in which the various realities of life and death, of the hereafter, of ancient nations that have passed, you know, as well as historical context, stories, parables, all of these things we learn from the Holy Quran, and it is these things which teach us the realities of existence. So now we have covered our aspect of philosophy or speculative wisdom. But what's left, of course, is ethics or practical wisdom, or this, you know, the action part of this whole equation. So we've learned the various different conceptual realities from the Holy Quran. Well, now we turn to the seerah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as well as the immaculate and infallible imams alayhimus salam, the ahlul bayt alayhimus salam. And it is their practical actions, it is their virtuous codes of conduct, their behaviors, these virtues that they exemplify and manifest, as well as the evil habits which they have purged from themselves, and of course that they have been able to reach a level of being ma'asum, of being infallible or immaculate. So that is the practical wisdom and the practical aspect which we're talking about. Ethics is to live the life according to the role model put forth, which is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And there you go. It's as simple as that. Philosophy and ethics when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program.
Hajja Fatima was born in 1948. This was the year Palestinians refer to as Al-Nakba, the catastrophe, when Israel wiped the Palestinian inhabitants from 400 villages. Some they entirely destroyed. Others were repopulated with Jewish immigrants. Hajja Fatima was born in a field while her father fought in the war. Within days of her birth, her family fled to Beit Anan in the West Bank, which is where she has remained her entire life.
First of all, this is my land and my country. It is not only the 1948 or 1967 borders from the sea to the river, 27,000 square kilometers. I am not ready to let go of a centimeter. This is historical Palestine.
Al-Quds.
Jerusalem, the most important one, the capital. This is Bab al-Shams and this is Bab al-Karameh. The Jordan Valley has been conquered and taken over by the Israelis. Here is Jenin. We will never let go of this area. And north is the Galilee, now ruled by Israel. My mother brought me into this world on the 14th of July 1948, the day of the Nakba. I was born in a field and left for 24 hours while my father fought in the war. I now fight with my words. Although this is my only weapon, I'm strong because I'm right.
Since her exile, Hajja Fatima has witnessed dramatic changes in the landscape surrounding her home, from the construction of the Israeli wall, which eventually encircled her home, to the gradual building of Israeli settlements, which engulfed what was once Palestinian agricultural land. Her town was once considered the safest path to walk to the holy city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
The last time I visited Jerusalem, Al-Quds, was 7 years ago. But it is now forbidden by the Israelis. They forbid me from everything that I hold dear to me, praying in Al-Aqsa Mosque, buying sweet cakes from the old markets of Jerusalem, and walking through the ancient path of the old city. There is no place more beautiful than Jerusalem. I would love to be there just to see the markets, the shops, the old streets, and to pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Thank you.
Bab al-Karama.
Bab al-Karama was built because it is the western entrance for Jerusalem. It is near Jerusalem, and this is why we built this village and named it Karama. It means our pride.
Hajj Fatima described the land to me, stating, "The land is our bed and the blankets our sky." Palestine to Hajj Fatima is not exclusively about the land itself, but the Palestinians' relationship to their land. She told me that people can and will continue to live from the land, and only when their livelihood is taken, that will be the end of Palestine. Fatima sews each village and city into the map of Palestine, without borders, without boundaries, without settlements, without Israeli cities, and without the infamous wall built by Israel to separate what is now called Israel to the West Bank.
We want peace and they want peace. Our weapons is the rock and words. But we are rightful people. This is our land. Our ancestors are from here. Since 1968 they have been excavating tunnels, found a trace of evidence or antiquities. All of these antiquities are Arab, Muslim, Christian. We and our fellow Christians live together here. Jerusalem has the Church of Holy Sepulchre and it has Al-Aqsa Mosque. Whoever they want to imprison, let them imprison. Who they want to kill, let them kill. If they want to take a tree, we will plant 1,000. They break and we build. We are here for a long time. We are never going to be bored. They asked me, why do you see Palestine like this? This is my country and I can draw it as I want and make it more beautiful.
Fatima joined Palestinian and international activists from around the world in building the protest village Bab al-Karama.
They didn't leave their land or houses, and therefore they became refugees in their own homeland. Jerusalem is near, only a few meters from here, so we consider Beit Iksa to be the western gate for Jerusalem. If they take this village, we wouldn't be able to reach Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is our capital, the capital of the Palestinian state. Whether they like it or not, it's ours and not theirs. We are here today because they are going to take this land to build the wall through it, and we do not approve that. It is the land of our fathers and grandfathers, and also the land of our sons and grandchildren.
About 1,200 hectares of from Beit Iksa land, and it just leaves about 2,000 hectares for the city, for the village itself. This is what had happened, and this is what they are looking to do it. The train that passes from near here in this neighborhood was passed from the lands of Beit Iksa, and the Israelis want to keep the citizens here far away from the bus of the train and the wall. That's why they separate the land.
Well, I was at the Bab al-Sham's protest last week, and I myself had my head banged against a bus by a soldier. The bus I was put on to be taken away from Bab al-Sham's, there was a man with he had a busted eye and a bleeding nose, and the soldiers would not let him receive medical attention.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin.
In this day, Al-Jum'ah, they pray here in their land because they know keeping their land is part of their religious and beliefs. For though here in Beit Iksa, the village that was surrounded by the wall from the whole bars from the whole directions to only one bath. This bath is come and go through the gate that is run by the Israeli soldiers. If you want to enter, you have to give them your ID and tell them why and when you are come to enter Beit Iksa. This is the exact separation. Beit Iksa is living in a big jail here.
It's very clear that the settlements and the theft of land are illegal. The UN has repeatedly condemned it. Members of Amnesty International and other human rights organisations, they've all condemned it. It's just every attempt made to fix the situation is blocked by the US.
Described to me that he barely sees the situation on the ground in the news, including settlements, construction and Israeli apartheid.
I think since the experience of the initiative of Bab al-Shams, it has been exposed the Israeli settlements much more and the Israeli confiscation of the land much more. It's became have lots of interest in, within the international media, international community. And I think this is what we are doing now. If you continue this kind of initiative, they will challenge them more and more. And they will bring it from like a kind of a media coverage to political levels. And that's what we want. We want everybody to be accountable and responsible for this. Because Israel is here, like any, by the support of Europe, by the support of the United States. Here they are accountable, as Israel is accountable for what's going on.
Villagers assembled for prayers on the hill. Following this, they erected a tent structure and laid the first bricks for a new mosque they call Karama, meaning dignity.
You know, Beit Iksa's land is confiscated. Like, and we now have no land whatsoever. This is the last piece of land that has been confiscated, which is 450 dirhams. So the strategy here is to come and to build the tents, as you see here, and to stay in the land. So people is living, staying here, sleeping here, staying 24 hours in this land, telling the Israelis one message, the Israeli occupation, this is our land, we are not going to give it easy. You can give orders of like any confiscations, you can give orders of expulsion, but we are going to defend our land. We are going to stay in our land. And this is an open battle, you know, with the Israeli occupation power. So we have no choice but to resist.
This is very symbolic because back in 1948, when the state of Israel was established, the villagers here had 15,000 dulums of land. Right away, 14,000 of those 15 were taken away. And recently, they're trying to take away another 700 of the. So basically, they're going to be left with 300 dulums. The village here needs more than that to survive. They have a lot of land that they need to grow food and survive on that. So the Zionist plan is to basically build a wall around the village and between the village and their lands so they can't grow, they can't use it for agriculture to sustain themselves.
Even with immense international support, Israel handed the activists a notice of demolition. They destroyed the mosque and ordered all people to leave the area.
We've been here for 3 days. They always come. Today, Israelis raided our village twice. Of course we prevented them, as we will do every day. At the beginning, they used to build the wall and we would follow them. But now it is the opposite. They follow us. That is why we are staying here. They closed the checkpoint and prevented anyone from entering. Days ago, the eastern gates of Jerusalem, Bab al-Shams, it is called that because the sun rises from the east, and this one is Bab al-Karameh. So instead of Israel surrounding us, we will surround them because we are the people with the rights to the land. The one who has the right is the strongest.
Thank you. area is agricultural land, you know. And now we are surrounded with the settlements. And this area, it's have in the history the main road to Jerusalem, and the Israelis settlements cutting this main road and cutting the main road to the Ramallah.
We have come here today to construct Canaan village on our land, our Palestinian land, to practice our right to develop our land, to plant our land, to use our land. This is our natural right as human beings, to use our land. That's why we are here today. When we arrived to the area, Israeli occupation or fascist Israeli occupation forces has attacked us, has demolished the tents, stolen the tents. But we are telling them clear message. They have demolished Canaan village here. We will today, not tomorrow, we will build another village in another area in Yatta. Today.
We took the case to the High Court for petition to state that this is privately owned land. We were able to get an order from the High Court to not take the camp down for 6 days. However, the army stormed the camp under the pretext of security and announced it as a military closed zone for this period of time. I was shocked that I was unable to enter my own land.
Now we are living in miserable conditions. Because we are cutting from the other areas from Ramallah and Jerusalem. We haven't any work. Our agriculture, all of our agricultural land now is behind of the wall.
The Israeli soldiers told us it was a military closed zone until the 13th of February. I was shocked to see that he had a legal warrant from the head of the IDF to extend the matter to the 13th of February. After the end of the 6 days, the Israeli court granted the Israeli forces permission to take the tents down. This was permitted under a false and unreasonable pretext, security. The area is isolated. There are no Israeli highways or military bases, no danger towards Israelis whatsoever. It is open land. I strongly object to this excuse that it is a military zone. This is merely an excuse. This, for example, is a title deed from Turkey that proves that we are the landowners. This deed entitles Salah Ali Jirma and all the people of Tor to this land, which includes my family for generations. This title proves that these people are the rightful owners. Only the owners of this land have the rights to it.
Baba Shams was completely encircled by the Israeli army. All protesters were evacuated and Palestinians are now banned from the area. Although Mofid gained permission from the High Courts to remain on the land for an additional week, the Israeli police refused this petition and dispersed the protesters without warning or warrant.
2 weeks ago, there was an open day near the wall. We marched towards it and planted olive trees and buried with them the names of martyrs killed by Israel. The soldier attempted to stop us, but we continued digging. The soldiers came, but we did not allow them to destroy our work. We resist. Our work is on the land.
Thank you.
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Rohullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, today we will be working on Ayah 31, Surah Al-A'raf. What page?
154.
So, brothers and sisters, as you know, every day we will be working on some verses from Surah Al-A'raf and so on. We'll have the tajweed rules and the recitation, a little explanation about each ayah, and yeah, that's it. So, ayah 31 of Surah Al-A'raf. Today is the main topic. Let's listen to the recitation and then we will move on.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Bani آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
ما شاء الله, nice recitation. Great. Who's gonna recite this ayah once? Huh? Anyone? Any volunteer? Hussein, Ali Nasir, Hassan, Fawad?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hussein is going to recite this ayah once. Everyone, let's listen to Hussein.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. All children of Adam, Allah Almighty talks to all of us. It's not only Muslims, it's all of us. Alright? All. Allah says, put on your adornment on every occasion of prayer, on every masjid, okay, wherever you go. I mean, whenever you go to the masjids, okay? Masjid, since it's the best place for worshipping, yes? Best place. Masjid is the house of Allah, yes?
Yes.
So wherever you go, whenever you go to the masjids, try to be very clean, very neat, the best clothes you have put on. And yeah, of course, because you're also going two things, okay? You go to prayer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in meeting with Allah Almighty, and also you meet some of your Muslim brothers. So try to be very
clean and neat
and also good smelling. Yeah?
Yeah,
these things. Comb your hair. Okay, so go to the masjids and pay attention to these things. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. And eat and drink, but do not waste, do not commit extravagance, israf. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Indeed, he does not like the wasteful. Alright, we'll explain. That's the translation. We'll explain it, inshallah. So, Fawad, can you tell us some tajweed points we really have to pay attention to in this ayah in terms of recitation? Huh?
So, there are four major rules for noon sakin or tanween.
Uh-huh.
The first one which I see is in inda.
Inda.
Ikhfa.
So, everyone look at the word inda. Fawad says we should apply the rule ikhfa. What does ikhfa mean and how do you do it?
Hide the sound of the noon or tanween.
Oh.
And then proceed.
So, how do you do that?
Inda.
Inda. Is that right?
Yes.
So, great. Thank you, Fawad. So, there are four important rules for the noon sakin or the tanween. Whenever you have a noon sakin or a tanween, no matter it is tanween
or noon sakin.
Yeah, no matter it's tanween fatha or tanween
kasra
or
dhamma.
Tanween dhamma. An, in,
un.
Any of them.
Yes.
So, the basic rule is that it depends, the rule, this four, one of these four rules. Depends on what? How do you understand you have to apply, for example, the rule ikhfa, the rule idgham, the rule?
The letter which comes after.
Ah, that's the general rule. The letter that follows tanween or nun sakin tells you what rule you should apply. Hasan? Right?
Yes.
For example, if you have yarmalun letters, how many letters? Six letters which you have combined with the word yar
maloon.
Maloon. Hussein, name them.
Ya.
Ya.
Ra.
Meem.
Meem.
Lam.
Lam.
Vau.
Wow.
And noon.
And noon. Whenever you have one of these four letters, you have to
merge
the sound of tanween or nun sakin into
the next letter.
The next letter. Join them. So, Ali Nasir, can you read عند كل مسجد? How do you do that? So,
yes.
Wait. Dal is one of the
قطب جدلر.
No.
Yes, the rest of
in
the
case, letter. In case it is sakin, but here it is not sakin.
Yeah.
So it comes after nun sakin.
It is the rest of the letters.
From the rest of the letters. We have four groups of the letters.
Yes.
Throat letters, the letter ba, the letters of yarmalun, and the rest of the letters. So it's from the rest of the letters. It's
yes.
Not from any other groups.
Yes.
So what do you do here?
Ikhfa.
As Fawad said, we apply the rule ikhfa.
As I said.
Yeah, as Fawad said. Okay, Mr. Fawad. So you hide the sound of noon.
Yeah.
And you extend it for two counts. And you produce?
Nasal sound.
A nasal sound, kind of. All right, Ali Nasir, do it.
Yes.
Fawad, check it out.
عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِد.
Correct?
No, wrong.
No, it was wrong. Why?
Why?
Why was it wrong?
Yeah, he said masjid.
We're talking about the ikhfa.
Oh, that was correct.
That was correct. So, how is it, Hassan?
عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِد.
Ahsan. عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِد. Good job. Thank you.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
Sir?
Yep.
We have a rule before this.
Okay, where is that?
The mad ones.
Oh, the mad. The word ya bani. Is the mad wajib or to extend? You have to extend it?
No.
Or you're allowed to extend
jayus.
It?
You're allowed.
Are allowed to extend it or to skip it? Alright. So you could read it how, Hussein? With the mat? If you
yes.
prolong it?
If we read it with the mat, it's Ya Bani Adam.
Good. If we read it without the mat?
Ya Bani Adam.
Good job. Both are correct. Thank you so
yes.
much.
Yes.
Okay, kulli masjidin
plus waw.
Alright, I remember reminded of one point. Look, Allah Almighty, I was reading the interpretation and was saying like it talks about having the masjid as the best place. It means it should be a good place for worship. Okay, you have to have this in mind, okay? You have to try your best. For example, if you have any programs, any festivals, any marasim, okay? Decorate it. Yeah? Participate in decorations. And also, this ayah could mean like, because children, okay? Children and family, they are called zina, okay? Decorations or adornment in the Quran.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why this ayah tries to say that you take your children with you to the masjids. Right?
Is it obligatory?
No. It says because it affects okay your children.
Children. Yeah.
You can raise them. You can bring them up better. Kulli masjidin. It's got the tanween.
Yes.
After tanween.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Wow is one of the.
Yermaloon,
and the rule
Idgham.
Idgham is applied. Who can do it? For what do it? Kulli masjidiw. Diw. Good job. You merged them. You joined them. Kulli masjidiw. Wakulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Allah says, first in this ayah, Allah Almighty was talking about the spiritual part of our life.
Yes.
And then worldly life. Okay. Drink. Eat. But be careful not to waste. So you go to the shop. If you need 1 kilo apple, okay, because they usually get pale, yes? So soon. So it's better for you to buy as much as you need. So if you, for example, you need 1 kilo of apple, if you buy 5 kilos of apple, so then you need to throw the rest of them away because you can't eat them anymore.
Yes?
Yeah. So, or if you don't have refrigerator, for example, you cannot keep them for a long time, so it will be a waste. Okay? This is called israf, which is haram in Islam. So, innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. The last point, Hassan will help us with it, then we'll practice the recitation. Hassan, can you tell us about that baby jim on the top of the word tusrifu? First,
yes.
Tell us what it talks about, what is it?
Alright. It says that it's optional to stop or to continue.
So it means that it's a stopping sign then?
Yes.
It's a station, okay?
But
it stops.
Yes. But it is on you to pause or to continue.
Good job. So you're allowed. Jim comes from the word? Ja'iz.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it. I will. And the word innahu, in nun mushaddad, and also ha, who, make sure you prolong it for two counts. Innahu la yuhib, innahu la no, hula no, innahu la. Alright, Fawad?
Yes.
So let me recite this ayah once, make sure you repeat after me, brothers and sisters, dear listeners will also join us in recitation. Then we'll end the class. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا
يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا
إنه لا يحب المسرفين
إنه لا يحب المسرفين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Allah bless you, inshallah. That's it from us for today, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Stay with us. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the next coming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser, for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Abu Ramadan and his family.
Part 2.
While we were with Abu Ramadan's family in the house, we heard explosions everywhere, every now and then.
There was another explosion. That one hit someplace moments ago and exploded. We do not know where that was. May Allah protect all the people and children. Sometimes planes hit us and sometimes tanks. What did we do to them? Can you see the fire in a Shajaiya neighborhood? They killed the people and burned the houses. Allah is sufficient for us against the Israeli occupation. Look at the sky. It is black because of the fire and of what they fire on us. They are cowards and could not go out of their tanks. Their chiefs tell them to kill themselves but not surrender to the Palestinians. They tell them that they should not be imprisoned. Kill yourselves but do not turn yourselves in. They and their army are cowards. They fire missiles and kill innocent people and hit hospitals and mosques. They destroyed every mosque.
Abu Ramadan and his family did not want to stay any longer inside the house, so they decided to leave before something disastrous happened.
Let's go out as they may bomb the house. Let's go to the school. Planes are firing missiles all day and night. Listen to the sounds of the planes and tanks.
Because of the continuous heavy shelling and the fear of becoming a target, all family members rushed to the sheltering school, thinking that their whole house would be bombed at any moment, because Gazans know that drone missiles are guided missiles of the F-16 fighters, which could destroy their house.
We're afraid that they bomb it and destroy it. We do not belong to Hamas or to Fatah, but may Allah protect them. We support everybody. All the Muslims are our children. My son and his wife were in the apartment during that. What shall we do?
They targeted the mosque while the prayers were inside. Mosques and churches did not survive the bombings. They destroyed everything and no one is safe. Why is that? Is it because we have what is their right? Or because we want to live dignified on our land and in our homeland like other nations? The right of this land is ours and they took it. Where is our land that they took?
Inside the sheltering school, which houses tens of the expelled families from Al-Shuja'iyah and Al-Zaytun neighborhoods, people are living moments of waiting and fear. Some are watching the planes in the sky, while others are following the smoke coming out because of the continuous shelling in the Gaza Strip. Others could not enter the classes. They prefer to stay out in the corridors or the school square because the classes are crowded with women and children.
Four families live in one classroom. Our family, Al-Ghazali family, Al-Dahshan family, and Arafat family. There is no enough room in the refugee schools, but we should support each other.
My husband and I have three children. We are now in the streets. My husband and I sleep on one mattress. In this class, there are about 40 people, including children and elders, and the number keeps on rising.
This is what the image looks like inside the school. The displaced families from the eastern borders of the Strip live inside the school. When the sunset is close, people start to make movements. Everyone is busy preparing the requirements to break their fast, gathering some food and drinks. The same as for Abu Ramadan and his family. To the sounds of explosions, the fasting people break their Ramadan fast. Some of them have their meals inside the classrooms, while others eat in the corridors because there is not enough space.
They have started bombing now. They will continue this the whole night. We could not sleep last night, and I'm still awake till now.
We took refuge at the UNRWA schools because they provide protection in wartime. We're not supposed to be bombed there. However, we may be hit in this UNRWA school. They fire random missiles and don't care what they are hitting.
There is a bombing every second. I was once going to the bathroom when a missile shrapnel fell next to me. My children have urinary incontinence because of fear.
After breaking their fast, the men gathered in a circle in the corridor. They started discussing what happened in the country.
They are killing children, women, and innocent people. They killed children from Shuhaiber family while they were playing on the roof.
Yes, I know them. Two girls and a boy.
They targeted them.
And they killed people who were fleeing from Al-Mansura.
What did they do? What was their fault?
70 people were killed today, but there is nothing to justify that.
They were children. What was their fault? We want to live like other nations, like the rest of the world. Every 2 or 3 years comes a new war, and they kill young men.
They creatively kill children and cut trees. They destroy buildings too. Are they humans even?
The whole world is silent.
If they want to be creative, they should send their soldiers man to man in the battlefield. It is not by using planes to kill children, women, and the old people.
What is the fault of those who are being killed? What is the fault of the children? Do children fire rockets?
They say that children fire rockets. So drone rockets cut the children's necks off their bodies because these children fire rockets.
Yesterday in Shuja'iyah, they bombed many houses. What was the people's fault? F-16 rockets destroy huge buildings upon their residence. Why?
Yes, Al-Bash family and Abu Kawar family, for example.
During the discussion, they heard the Al-Isha call prayer in Gaza, along with the sounds of the Israeli army's F-16 planes bombing everywhere. Despite their fear and horror, the men gathered in the school square to perform the Isha prayers, asking Allah to protect them.
Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the God of mankind, from the evil of sneaking whisperer who whispers evil into the hearts of mankind, from among the jinn and evil men. God is great. God listens to the one who praises him. O Allah, we ask you to make the Mujahideen's shots true. O Allah, put horror into the corrupted hearts of the Zionists. O Allah, we ask you to bring their planes down, to destroy their tanks, and put fear in the hearts of their soldiers. O Allah, we ask you to paralyze their attack. Peace be upon the Prophet Muhammad and his companions. God is great.
After finishing the prayers, sounds of firecrackers and takbir were heard over the school. Everybody was smiling and was delighted in spite of the killing and destruction. Obviously, there was good news that spread. After 450 martyrs and more than 3,000 injuries up until that day were the result of the ongoing war by the Israeli occupation of the Gaza Strip.
The Palestinians captured an Israeli soldier. I hope they capture another one tonight. This is victory for us. We will free all our prisoners and get all our demands with this soldier.
We did not want to imprison the soldier, but they themselves made us kidnap him. We did not want that from the beginning, but they made us do so.
After the celebration, there were more explosions and raids, but everyone went to sleep in the school. At dawn, Abu Ramadan woke up to start a new day with unknown surprises.
There is bombing and destruction every day. They have been bombing Al-Shaja'iya neighborhood the whole night and everybody left it. There are many martyrs. Houses were destroyed and men, children and old men were killed. What life is this?
A new morning comes to the Gaza Strip, while the war of destroying houses on its residents continues.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.